relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The following was pre-recorded.
Welcome back, dear friends, to America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump. It's a special day. It's the most special day for Americans. Christmas may be the most important for us, for our families, in the broader sweep of things, in the civilizational sense. Easter marking the greatest act in human history, when our God, our Savior, saved us all. But when it comes to the nation of America, it's July 4th. It is the celebration of a nation unlike any other. The first, the only, to be founded on the principle of individual liberty, on the principle of freedom, as awarded to us, as deriving from not the government, not some man-made institution, but from our Lord. Why? Because our dignity isn't a man-made invention. Our dignity, our rights, derive from one source and one source alone. And that is, of course, the fact that we are made in the image of our Creator. So, where are those values today? Have they been vouched safe by the political elite, by the people to whom we provide a mandate to govern over us? Or have they been undermined, sabotaged by seditious actors who wish to turn the principles of our founding on their heads, who wish to divide us along ideological lines, class, race, and where we came from? That is the challenge today. So we're going to talk to somebody who has done the heavy lifting, an individual who's served in government, but more importantly, who understands first principles, the principles that we should be celebrating today. And he's my good friend, Robert Riley. So sit down, get a comfortable chair, and listen. Quote from General George C. Marshall: cease to accept as a matter of course your blessings, your rare good fortune. We are exploiting this special day to do what I love to do, which is the long form interview. I worship at the altar of John Batchelor, the master of the art, a man who put me on his radio show many moons ago and still does every Thursday evening. If you're not familiar, check out John Batchelor's fabulous podcast. And we have again in studio a friend of mine. He was recognized by that music because he's a former cavalry officer, now director of the Westminster Institute. In his 25 years of government service, Robert Riley has served as special assistant to the president, a very special president, and as director of the Voice of America, also senior advisor for information strategy to the Secretary of Defense, and taught, I guess that makes him a kind of colleague of mine, because we've both taught at the National Defense University. Bob Riley, welcome back to America First.
Seb, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be with you again.
Well, it is always so much fun. We could just talk for hours and hours. We have a special reason today, not just because of the day that we are celebrating, but also because of your latest work. Let me just regale our listeners. If you're not familiar with Bob's works, they include the following: Making Gay Okay, How Rationalizing Homosexual Behavior is Changing Everything, Surprised by Beauty, A Listener's Guide to the Recovery of Modern Music, and the one that I made compulsory reading on my courses both at the Institute of World Politics and National Defense University, The Closing of the Muslim Mind, How Intellectual Suicide Created the Modern Islamist Crisis. Your brand new book, and I know it's a good book because my wife refused to give it to me for the last 3 weeks. I had to wrench it from her hands for this interview, is America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, beautifully produced book. I mean, Ignatius Press, I mean, the production values of the book are fabulous. And, of course, you have a foreword from none other than the president of Hillsdale College, Larry P. Arn. We could dedicate hours to this book. We have an hour with you. Let's crack on. Let's start right at the beginning. Your book, America on Trial, is a response to, actually, I think they're both Catholics, a couple of Catholic scholars, one I know who's at Notre Dame, who have written extensively on the idea that, quote-unquote, there's some kind of poison pill in the founding of this republic, the United States. It's the poison pill of Enlightenment values, and that's why America was doomed to eventual decline. Your book, Robert, is a response to that thesis. Am I correct?
It is. I choose two thinkers specifically just to use as illustrations of this particular line of thought. It's not unique to them. It's not new to them. This has been said before about the United States, that we had a faulty founding, that the founding was the original sin of America. And why? Because it contained radical principles of the Enlightenment, of individual autonomy. And the only reason why we didn't end up in total moral disorder sooner is there was still a Christian religious grip on society. As that grip has loosened, lo and behold, we are now reaping the fruits of this time-release poison pill.
So there was a ticking time bomb inside our republic,
yeah.
And we were condemned to eventually decline because of these hidden values.
Right. The founding did this to us. So, as I say, this isn't a new thesis, but why is it receiving so much attention now? And why did I feel impelled to write this book? And the reason is people are becoming more desperate to find an explanation.
For the decline.
Why has this society lost its moral compass? Why are we awash in a sea of pornography and drugs, disintegrating families, so-called same-sex marriage?
I'm so glad you say that. I'm fed up with people saying that those men are married or those women are married. That's just a distortion of English language.
That's why I wrote the other book on that topic, that's... Talk about natural law and the violation of natural law. The supposed acceptance of quote-unquote marriage between people of the same sex is an impossibility, an immoral fiction, which has been foisted upon us by, well, Justice Kennedy and other members of the court who so ruled. And that pertains to the subject of this book, not that problem, but the central issue of natural law and whether the American founding was an expression of natural law or whether it was a violation of it.
Now, one of these professors, Patrick Deneen, you talk about two of the individuals who propagate this concept of the ticking time bomb or the inherent poison in our founding. You use this phrase, a false anthropology. What is this false anthropology upon which their argumentation is founded?
Well, no, it's his accusation that the United States is based
upon
a false anthropology. And it's that man is perfectible, that he has this radical autonomy, the autonomy of the individual, and that the ultimate end of man is that there is no end.
Is this
that
tied
he gets to make up his own end.
Is this tied into those who assert that our founding fathers really weren't Christians in the traditional sense and they were more influenced by deist concepts or concepts of Freemasonry? Is this part and parcel of this rewriting of history?
I don't think that's part of this point of view. They understand that the United States was overwhelmingly Christian at the time, and they don't doubt the nature of their Christianity.
But then how can they posit this idea that, that there was this concept that man is perfectible? Because if you're a Christian, you understand the fallen nature of man.
Well, it's sort of they thought it was a kind of a hidden assumption in there, and that it has become manifest the more the grip of the Christian religion has been lost on society. But the only way they can do this is through a massive interpretation by America's founding documents, including of the Declaration of Independence, including of the Federalist Papers. The last part of this book is an examination of where is the evidence in the founding for the position that it was this way. So I scrutinize that very closely and show that they really don't have a leg to stand on.
We are talking to the author of America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, a brand new book from Ignatius Press. He is Robert Riley. The first chapter is The Legacies of Athens, Jerusalem, and Rome. And that will be our next subject. Where did the founders get the principles for our republic from? All will be answered, well, at least as much as we can in 1 hour here on America First on the Salem Radio Network, coast to coast, across the nation on hundreds of stations, 24/7. If you miss anything, you can go to our website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Follow us on Twitter, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on a very special day celebrating those who've given the utmost for this nation, the greatest nation on God's earth. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
With that song, sorry YouTube, you can't hear it. We need what's the Space Corps anthem? We're going to need to improvise a Space Corps anthem by the end of our Memorial Day special. I'm sure Shad can pull something out of his sleeve. I'm Sebastian Gorka with a very special guest. He is the director of the Westminster Institute, Robert Riley, former special assistant to President Ronald Reagan, the author of a brand new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. We were born as a nation out of a revolutionary war. But your book posits or is a push back against the idea that these revolutionaries were radicals philosophically. Yes, they were revolutionaries against the unjust order that was the British Empire or the colonies of the British Empire. Radicals in the sense of rejecting what went before. In fact, your argument in your book is that there are three pillars or three legs of the stool of our founding. Where do they come from, Robert?
Right. Seb, the question I ask myself is what made the American founding conceivable? How is it that man began to think this is the way they ought to be ruled, by limited constitutional Republican government.
Right.
That's not the general run of history.
And not only that, it comes out of a period of raison d'etat, where the state is the definition of truth.
Yes.
Where the king, the queen, whether they want to declare Monday Tuesday, well, then Monday becomes Tuesday. Well, the justification of might.
The absolute rule is what the American founding was a revolution against, and it was a restoration of the preceding
right.
principles, some of which I'll allude to here very briefly. And that is, from Athens, was the revolution of philosophy and the idea that through our reason we could actually come to know the truth as distinct from having opinions about it, that there was a way to discover the truth.
Or that a monarch defines what the truth is.
That's exactly, that the truth has some sort of transcendent mooring, that there is an order in nature and that it's a rational order. And they asked themselves, from where could this rational order have come? And they answered, it came from a divine intelligence.
So this is when we go back to the Judaic influence.
No, we're still with the Greeks.
We're still with the Greeks?
We're here with Anaximander and Heraclitus, who said...
Heraclitus.
Yes, what do we call this divine intelligence?
The watchmaker, if you will.
Yeah. Well, they called it the nomos. I mean, sorry, the logos.
Logos.
Not nomos, which is...
The word.
The logos, which means either word or reason. So it was a divine reason behind the order you saw in nature, which accounted for why it was intelligible, why we could understand the world.
Now, before we get to the later content of the word logos that comes with Christianity, we have to go back in time and we have to go to the Old Testament understanding. So we have the Greeks who say that there is a human capacity to actually not demonstrate, but to perceive the order around us. This is reason. Then before we get to Christianity, we have the Judaic influence, which says what is special about Judaism, and why is that also part of our makeup as a republic?
But before we leave the Greeks, we have to also say that it was first under the Greeks that reason became normative, that morality became known through one's reason, that it too was rational, that evil was behaving irrationally.
And there's nothing capricious about this.
There's nothing capricious because it's according to this law of nature. And the law
so
of
there's
nature
an order.
For man
the point
is moral.
There's a point. The point here is that there's some kind of order.
Some kind of order, and you can know the difference between right and wrong, between justice and injustice.
Good.
Now, that, through reason, through the Jews, we come at the most extraordinary significance of monotheism in this ocean of polytheism.
From the Greeks, polytheistic, the Romans,
right.
Polytheistic.
So the monotheism of the Jews, that there's only one God, Yahweh, that there are no other gods, that this God is transcendent, that this God created from nothing, gave man a view of life and the universe that was far more optimistic than the fatalistic view of the polytheists around them.
Because the polytheists, if you read the original texts, their gods are just capricious humans. They're just greedy, lecherous. I mean, their gods are just reflections of our weaknesses.
Well, in addition to which, they think that these gods, there are constant struggles between a god of good and a god of evil.
Right.
And the disruptions you see in nature and disorders are a manifestation of the struggle
that
between
conflict.
The two of them.
Yeah.
So you have to satiate the good god, try to keep him strong, and that usually requires human sacrifice, as it did in the Middle East, as it did from the Aztecs and so forth, propitiate the angry gods with blood. There was a hemorrhage of blood in the ancient world, as you know. And the Jews overthrew this view. There was no contention in creation. God made it from nothing. As Genesis says, he made everything, and it was well made. And then this arresting remark in Genesis that man is made
right.
in the image and likeness of God. It had never occurred to anyone in any other religion that man had such an intimate association with the divine that he was made in its image and likeness, and therefore could not become the tool for someone else's uses, and that there was an inherent dignity and right in them. To this day, any notion of human rights owes its ultimate origin to Genesis. I'm just going to jump very quickly across all those many centuries, in fact, millennia, to see how strong the heritage of this is. This is from 1858, Abraham Lincoln, quote, "Nothing stamped with the divine image and likeness was sent into the world to be trodden on and degraded and imbruted by its fellows," unquote.
The great emancipator.
The great emancipator. So there it is, straight from Genesis. This was, our civilization is founded upon Genesis in that respect.
And let me just throw in here, because of this fabulous other book that you wrote, The Closing of the Muslim Mind, there is great consequence in a quote-unquote modern religion, in this case Islam, which expressly denies, which deems heretical and blasphemous the concept that man is made in God's image. And that has theological and all kinds of other practical consequences. We're talking to the man who's written the brand new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. He is Robert R. Riley, the executive director of the Westminster Institute. You can follow them at Westminster_INS. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network across the nation, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. Follow us at Twitter, Seb Gorka, SEBGORKA. Latest updates, articles, and all of our segments and monologues available at our website, sebgorka.com, and also wherever podcasts are available. Back with Robert Riley after these messages. First with me, Sebastian Gorka. Don't forget, I know you love listening every day when you can, and I know some of you maybe have something more important to do now and again, but not all the time. Please ensure that. But if you wish to catch up with elements, interviews you may have missed, we post all our segments, including the monologues, on our video channel on Rumble. It's free. Go today, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Subscribe today and never miss a thing. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Special guest for our third hour is Robert Riley, author of the brand new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. We were discussing the three pillars upon which our republic was built. First, this concept of reason, the natural order inherited from the Greeks. Then this truly radical concept from Judaism, of monotheism with a God who created us in his image. And then we return to the idea of logos in terms of the New Testament and what Christ represents. What are the essentials? What am I missing, Bob?
Well, what Christianity adds here is, number one, it universalizes the monotheism of the Jews.
Meaning it's not just for one tribe in the Middle East.
It's not. As we know, Judaism is a tribal religion for Jews. Christianity began, of course, within Judaism.
But was for the Gentiles as well.
But was for the, exactly. And that's where we get this unbelievably profound teaching of equality. And of that, what is of significance now is not the physical lineage to whom you were born and in which tribe you are, but the spiritual lineage. As Christ said, you know, who is my mother? Who is my brother? It's who does the will of God. But the electrifying significance of the arrival of Christ, who, as you know, is introduced in the Gospel of St. John.
As Logos.
Yes, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Logos was with God, and Logos was God, and all things were
so
made.
So coexistential with the God.
Yes,
coexistential.
Well, is God.
Yes.
So now we know this reason behind the rational order of things. This Logos arrives in person. It's as if Heraclitus, you know, he speculates there must be a Logos, and here comes Logos through the door.
Another remarkable, radical concept, that God takes on human form.
That he enters into history.
Enters into history with all of our weaknesses, is open to temptation, dies for man, taking our sins upon himself. This is where we see true radicalism, if you want to see radicalism.
The mystery of man is revealed in the infinite love of Christ for each individual person. So what was a human being was of paltry significance in the ancient world.
Yeah, an animal with language.
And who survived very few years and was gone.
Right.
There was a tremendous futility about it, paltry insignificance. And now this individual person becomes of infinite worth, because he is the object of Christ's divine, infinite love for him.
And sacrifice.
Her, redeemed by God's sacrifice in his own blood. And man's ultimate aim now is not simply the happiness he would enjoy as a human being, but to share in the divine life of God, in the inner life of the Trinity. This was an end for man that was inconceivable to the imagination of ancient man, and this enhanced the sacredness of the person to an extent that had never been thought of before, so profoundly that it became the basis of a new civilization.
And also, to translate it into modern verbiage or terminology, the concept of civil rights, the concept of human rights, is unintelligible without the focal point, without the locus of where those rights come from. And it is in that phrase, unalienable rights, that we understand that the founding fathers were not only intimately familiar with these three principles or these three informational theological processes and evolutionary pathways of thought, they built them into the fabric of our republic during the founding. This is the core matter of Robert Riley's new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Foundation. Less a revolution in theological and philosophical terms, and more a restoration of Western civilization wrapped in a revolution against an unjust imperial force. Wow. Going far too quickly. We will be back with our special guest, Robert Riley, here on America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Wherever you are, wherever you're doing, don't touch that dial. Jauntiest hymn of all the services, or anthem, I must say. And if you ask them, they'll tell you they're the oldest service. Just don't tell the Marines. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. This hour is flying by. I hope you are enjoying it as much as I am. Our special guest is my good friend Robert Riley. He is the author of the brand new book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, and is director of the Westminster Institute. Follow them on Twitter at Westminster_INS. Bob, there seems to be this incredible formula that we have been bequeathed, that we have inherited from the founding fathers, a formula that allowed us to have freedom and reason melded together in a fine balance. If it was the function of genius that the Republic was a restoration of Judeo-Christian civilization's values, we have to answer the question that is the title of the epilogue of your book. If the founding was good, why did things go bad? Is it the influence of the French Revolution? Is it simply this concept of secular modernity where truth is just a matter of opinion? What answers did you find in your book as to what went wrong?
Well, the origin of what went wrong arrived from Europe in what's called historicism, and then a variant of that, progressivism, that there's nothing true, there are no transcendent truths. There are no laws of nature or nature's God upon which our Declaration of Independence based the creation of this country. There are no inalienable truths. Everything is a product of history. History changes, and so does one's ideas as to what is true. So nothing finally is true. Now, that strain of thinking began in Europe, and
it developed after World War One, after World War Two.
Well,
German philosophers brought it over here, and we end up with what has become de rigueur in U.S. institutions, in universities, and that's the critical theory that everything must be deconstructed, and at the end of the day, it's all interpretation, subjective interpretation that matters.
Let me give you a sample of this, which makes it perfectly clear. And I'm quoting from President Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. Quote, implicit in the Constitution's structure, in the very idea of ordered liberty, was a rejection of absolute truth, of the infallibility of any idea or ideology or theology or ism, and any tyrannical consistency that might lock future generations into a single unalterable course, unquote. So our freedom is, freedom enslaves you.
This is an incredible quote, Bob, because what that means is that the former president and those who share his ideological bent believe that truth, if truth exists, then you are a slave to it, that there is some kind of dictatorial system that surrounds the concept of objective truth, Bob.
Exactly. And that's what our founders believed, that it was the moral obligation of human beings to conform themselves with the transcendent truths on which they based the founding.
But to choose freely to do so.
Yeah, well, of course.
This is the point.
Yes.
It's not a tyranny. It is a choice.
The point is, without the existence of these transcendent truths, neither would the United States exist. And that is why our existence is now compromised, because this view, which Obama expressed so pungently, is what's permeating the academy. It's permeated the intelligentsia. And therefore, we're in danger of losing the founding. Now, the critics of the founding, to which we alluded at the beginning of this course, they believe that Obama is right about the founding. They believe that Justice Kennedy, who said due to this radical autonomy, you can marry another man if you want to, they say it's right. The whole tenor of my book and of history is that this is wrong.
Is not the ideology doomed to its own internal collapse because of its incoherence? If there is no objective truth, then how can you judge the truth of anybody else? Isn't this the paradox?
Of course.
Okay, good. I needed a sanity check from Robert Riley. Does that make you an optimist or a pessimist when it comes to the restoration of the restoration, if you will?
Well, it's very interesting to say, as you know, my oldest son is a officer in the Marine Corps. And in his senior year at a Catholic university, he had a course in political philosophy and U.S. government in which the professor offered this view that we have a corrupt founding. It just wasn't one among several views. It was the view he promoted. So at the end of the class, the student said, okay, you've convinced us. What are we supposed to do now? In other words, this teaching is so debilitating. It is so pessimistic because it gives no path to recovery Whereas the truth of the situation is our recovery will be based on our recovery of the founding principles of this country and their restoration as transcendent truths, true everywhere at all times for everyone, which is exactly what our founders believed.
As Oz Guinness said in one of our hour-long specials on a previous holiday, it is understanding the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, one that denied objective truth, one that obsessed on man as the center of the universe and the person who could define objective truth, and one that believes in the transcendent. We are talking to Robert R. Riley, author of the latest book, America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding, also executive director of the Westminster Institute.
Portions of America First are sponsored by Moral Compass LLC's No Safe Spaces movie.
I like that. I like that bid from Shad for the Space Forces anthem. Space 1999, that's good. Or should it be Battlestar Galactica? I don't know. We'll have a little poll on that on the next America First. If you want to support a great American patriot, one of our guest hosts for the show, he's Mike Lindell. You saw him attack mercilessly for mentioning God, the Bible, and prayer when he was in the Rose Garden. Support this man right now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Gorka for up to 50% of his great products. You can call them 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. In the last couple of minutes we have with you, Bob Riley, author of this incredible new book, America on Trial. I'm here because I was hired by Salem. They told me, we're in a culture war and we need a new radio show that's going to be on the front line of the culture war. Given the incredible books you've written about the influence of gay culture, the ontological, epistemological concepts and challenges inside Islam, this new book on the restoration here in America. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? How are we doing in the culture war with the relativists and the secularists?
Well, I'd say we're in tremendous trouble. We're in danger of losing our republic, and we had better undertake a restoration or we will lose it. So the tocsin has sounded, the call to arms has sounded, and we had better react. And the first thing that's required is a restoration of the objective reality, of the laws of nature and of nature's God, of those transcendent truths that make our rights inalienable, without which we shall lose them. Now, one of the parts of the case against the founding is they take the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence and say, well, that's all we're doing.
That's all we need.
A man wants to marry another man, he's pursuing his happiness. There should be no problem there. I just remind people of what George Washington said in his first inaugural address. He spoke of the indissoluble union of virtue and happiness.
Yes.
That there is. So the pursuit of happiness means the pursuit of virtue, and that without the recovery of virtue, you spoke that I worked for Ronald Reagan, which was the greatest privilege of my life. Throughout his administration, he said there is no permanent public good that is not based upon a spiritual revival.
What was it the blessed, the great John Paul II said in his speech to his fellow countrymen in Poland when it was still a communist nation and the communist elite were trembling in their boots as he spoke to millions of Poles? He said, freedom is not the freedom to buy Playboy. Virtue must be the guide, must be our polar star. Find out more. You won't regret it. Order this book right now. Robert Riley's America on Trial, A Defense of the Founding. I hope you're having a blessed day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Watch your six. Keep your head on a swivel. Never give up. Never give in. Stay frosty.